Might look at Exodus, first of all. Exodus chapter 7. This is a loose leaf Bible in more ways than one. It's not the kind you're thinking about. It's the oldest. The leaves are loose. However, I thought it was in 7. Exodus. It's Exodus 9. Cut my leaves right now. Exodus 9. Verse 30. But as for thee and thy servant, I know that ye will not hear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, and the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bald, but the wheat and the rice were not smitten, for they were not grown up. Now I'm going to talk about barley tonight. So you'll remember what we read anyway. And this will be by way of application, not by way of interpretation so much. In the place that we've just read, this was used as a sign to Pharaoh in connection with his judgment. That's right on the surface. But just why he used barley, that's for you to figure out. I could tell you while ago more about barley than I'm going to try to tell you tonight. But nevertheless, the barley was smitten. And that was God's sign of judgment. Because these are his signs of judgment to Pharaoh. And so the barley was smitten. That's easy to remember, isn't it? Now we look over to Judges. I don't know if I ever spoke on this before, but it came to my mind while our brethren were talking about this and reading about it today. Look at Judges chapter 7. This was mentioned in the Bible reading, and our brother Kraus read from here this afternoon. Prior to this, of course, he read from chapter 6. Chapter 7, and I won't read all the verses, but you may read them at your leisure from verse 7 down. And this is Gideon with his 300 men only. Verse 10, but if thou fear to go down, go thou with Pharaoh thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Pharaoh his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host, and the Midianites and the Amalekites, and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number as the sand by the sea side for multitude. When Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of the Midian, and came into a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel, for into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Now this was a sign of encouragement to Gideon, a sign of victory. And God used the dream of these barley cakes falling onto this tent and overthrowing it. Now, how it was that this enemy could interpret that dream so well, talk about faith. I'll let you tell me that one. You notice he interpreted it right. But God used that unsaved man to interpret that dream correctly because he wanted to encourage his servant, Gideon. And he did it by using a cake of barley cake. That little simple thing. Showing us this, that all through the scriptures, God uses simple things. Now we don't need to be simpletons, but we can be simple. Because he's used the simple or weak things to confound the wise. And so, in this case, just a little cake of barley bread falling down there, and in his dream, overturning that tent and so on. Well, here's this man that interprets it right. And his fellow answered, verse 14, and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon. How did he know that? For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all his host. And maybe he went down with them too. And yet he knew that. Well, I'm going to leave that with you. I told you, this isn't by way of interpretation. It's more by way of application. And it's to stir up our thinking. Ruth now. Chapter 1 in the book of Ruth. Now this is Naomi coming back home, and so we'll just read from verse 20. And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full. And the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Now, why did the Holy Spirit take special notice and record this as to when they came? Never does God put anything in the Bible just to fill it up. Well, what would that speak to us of then? It must have a little voice to us. It speaks to us of plenty. She left the house of plenty. She left the place of plenty. And she had to return back to where the plentifulness was. And so she came back, when does it tell us? At the beginning of barley harvest. She came back when there was plenty more. It was there. That's a little voice, I suppose, to any of us that might stray away as she did, and we'll have to just come back. Now she said, I went out full, and God had to deal very mightily with her, but she was brought back again. But when she was brought back, wouldn't it be something for her to come back and see those fields, all waving, ripe and ready for harvest, all these barley fields? Some of you folks that have gone through the prairies at the time of harvest and have seen those fields waving, you know what it's like. So do the farmers too, when they begin counting up how many bushels they're going to get and how much per bushel and all the rest and all that. Well, wouldn't that be something for her to come back and see, why I'm back now where the place is just filled with plenty. Why did I ever leave? That's about the way it is for the Christian that wanders off and wanders away from the Lord or the assembly sometimes, and sometimes they come back. If anybody is in here this afternoon or evening, I noticed a brother this afternoon called it this evening, and I'm saying this afternoon when it is evening, but we're going to get straightened out someday anyhow. You may say, how'd you notice all that? Well, because I just made a mistake myself. If anybody's in here this evening and you've wandered away like she did, away from God's place, you left the place of plenty. There's always plenty in God's New Testament church. Well, some might disagree with that and say, well, if you're only where we are. But there's always plenty. That's why I mentioned in the Bible reading this morning, those that left us. I'd rather say those that left the Lord. Because if I'm gathered out and gathered unto, and I am, to the Lord Jesus Christ, then, if I go away, I'm leaving the Lord. Well, I know I'm leaving His people too. But first of all, it's the Lord that I've left. And when she left here, she left where the blessing of God was. And she went out and she has to confess this. I went out full. And the Lord has dealt very harshly with me. I'm coming back empty. But she came back at barley harvest time. When there was plenty still, it was there all the time. And no matter what an assembly looks like on the exterior to you, if the Lord is there, there's a plenty. Thank God for that. It is simply wonderful who the Lord will use and how He will use to supply a plenty. I was just reading Bellett's book. I got his book and picked it up the other night. J.G. Bellett. I thought it was very nice that he recorded in there that sometimes from illiterate person in touch with God, God is able to give you more than sometimes others with their great education. And there was a man that had education, able to put that in his book. Well, why is that? Because in God's assembly there's a plenty, no matter how it looks on the other side. Those that wander away will have to find that out in some hand. And I hope if there's anyone wandering here, that you'll come back to the Lord and His place. And you'll be back where there's plenty. Why, you say, I never realized the fields look so, not green, ready for harvest. The barley's right here. Why did I ever go away anyway? Because I thought if I went over there, I'd get something. And I'd hear something. One man said, I go to the meeting, but I never get anything. But he never brought anything. That's the trouble. They're always wanting to get, but never giving. Well, be that as it may, seems like these electric clocks, you have to go by them anymore. 2 Samuel. Well, that's all right. I made announcements for 40 years at a conference, so I know what it's like. 2 Samuel, chapter 14. This is a little different one. Verse 29. Therefore, we better read verse 28. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king's face. Therefore, Absalom sent for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. Therefore, he said unto his servants, see, Joab's field is near mine, and he hath barley there. Go and set it on fire. And Absalom's servant went. Absalom's servant set the field on fire. Well, what would this speak to anybody else? Well, fire generally speaks of awakening. When I was a boy, our three-story house burnt to the ground, and it was 37 below zero in Quebec at that time, and I'll tell you, we weren't sleeping. We were awake. So, in this case, it speaks of awakening. And it was a barley field that got awake, all right. It was a barley field that got burnt up, but it woke up Joab. This man forced him to do what he wanted him to do. He got him awake. Years ago, and now don't think it's too long ago, but it'll sound very long to most of you. When I lived in the New England state, Billy Sunday came through there, not Billy Graham or Billy Bray, but Billy Sunday, having a campaign, and he had hundreds and some thousands of people to hear him in Boston. Behind him on this great big platform sat preachers from various denominations. And Billy Sunday said this, for I read it in the paper, that's how I know. It startled everybody. He said, "Set all these church buildings on fire in Boston." Came out in headlines that big in the paper the next day. Billy Sunday says, "Burn down all the churches in Boston." Why did he say that? He said, "It's the only time they'll ever have fire in the pulpit." And I bought a newspaper to read it myself, because he'd been in the city that I was in. Well, it speaks of awakening. And there should be fire in the pulpit. I remember hearing Mr. Sam McEwen say, "I like to follow a man that has fire in his preaching and in his sermon too." Now, if you brethren think that everything goes smooth then and it doesn't now, well, remember this. The man that had preached ahead of him neither had fire in his sermon or his preaching. And that's why Mr. McEwen said it, I think. But I believe that. How is anybody going to be awakened to the terrible wrath to come if they don't realize this? There's a hell beneath me. There's a God to meet. There's a fire that'll burn for all eternity. And I'll be in it unless I'm saved. Fire. If you're not born again, you're on your way to the fire. And you need to be awakened. And I hope whoever preaches the gospel tonight will have some fire in their preaching, and fire in their sermons, and fire in their soul, and be fired up to know this, that sinners are going to be in hell, and the lake that burns with fire and brimstone for all eternity. And rule that out of your preaching, and what do you get? False profession. The same as Billy Graham and others get them. Thank God for the real ones that he may get. But they get false ones too. This speaks of an awakening. Well, this man got awake all right. I'm not saying that they did right. I'm using this by way of application, and I told you that would be it when I started. Look at 1 Chronicles. Chapter 11. Now this is David's mighty men. And you can read about them from verse 10 if you care to, but I won't take that time right now. We will read about these that were with David in verse 13 at Hath-Dinan. And there the Philistines were gathered together to battle, where was a parcel of ground full of barley. And the people fled from before the Philistines, and they set themselves in the midst of the parcel. Who was that? These mighty men. And delivered it, and slew the Philistines,
And the Lord saved them by a great deliverance. Now, what does this speak of? This speaks of faithfulness. That parcel of ground maybe didn't look like much. It may not seem to very much to the outsider. It was just a little parcel of barley, but it meant a lot to David and his men. These men knew this. David needed that little parcel of land and ground and the barley that was on it at that time. As one has well said, and I quote from an old saying, of course, who was that that said that? An army moves on its stomach. Can't remember? That's right. I thought this man over here was that he didn't have that right on top. It was Napoleon, you're right. And these men realized this. We want to preserve this. We want to save this for David. And it speaks of faithfulness. What about these little parcels of land, if I can apply it? God has them everywhere. Little testimonies that dot the land. They don't look like much. My, when you see the crowds that are gathering and you hear about it and read it in the papers and they're bowing and scraping to somebody else that came from another country over here. And here's a little parcel of land and there's very few there. Doesn't look like very much, does it? It's very precious to the Lord. And I apply that as a little parcel of land for the Lord himself. Right in the midst of the enemy's land, there's assemblage dotting the land from coast to coast. And they're precious to the Lord. And it speaks of faithfulness. These men rose up. And in faithfulness to David, they delivered it, it said. Delivered what? Delivered the parcel of land. Kept it. And we're living in a time when, brethren, it means a lot to the Lord Jesus. No matter how small that assembly is, for us to use the sword if necessary against the enemy and deliver it for him. And there'll be coming the day when there'll be rewards handed out. And will they be for success? And I'm glad they won't be because I'm not that successful. But if I can do a little bit for the Lord Jesus, if I might get a little reward for faithfulness. Let us then be faithful to the Lord for the little that we may have. And so this little parcel of land, little parcel of barley, it was precious in the eyes of these men that were called David's mighty men. There's nothing more precious that I know of than God's New Testament church. I'm not referring now to the all-over picture. He will take care of that, the church that is his body. But wherever he has planted the seed, and there is a little testimony for himself, it's very precious to him. And he will reward the men and women that see it as such as these persons did. And they will raise the two-edged sword if anything would come in there to trample down that barley. They defended it. Well, there we go. Let's keep looking at that cloth over there. See, I'm used to preaching alone most of the time and preached for the last 5 months alone, so had all the time I wanted. Well, we better look at another one. We'll look at one in the New Testament. Maybe bypass some others. Look at John. Here's one that you all know of as well. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Now these are all the ones that were fed. Look at verse, I think we better read verse 4. And the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was nigh, and when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now notice that it's barley again that's used here. And what is this? 5 small loaves of barley. 1 loaf for 1,000. Because there were 5,000 men. 1 loaf for each 1,000. Oh, but unbelieving disciples said, what is this among so many? What does this speak to us of? Well, it speaks of plenty and a full supply when it's in the hand of the Lord Jesus. Isn't it wonderful that he can take of the small things and feed so many? Thank God for that. Sometimes we always are waiting for the big thing. I've come to a conference and somebody's given a little word that I remembered for many years. Why? Well, I think it was a little cake, a little barley cake for me. And in his hand it came to me, all right, a little crumb, but it fed me. And here were these. Now it speaks of something else too. God is at all of order, and he had them all sit down. And you notice where they had them sit? It also speaks of rest, because there was a nice grassy place there. Perhaps there wasn't any mosquitoes. Bat flies irritating for any of those pests that we have now. And wouldn't they enjoy that? I'll tell you, that would be some meal all right when it came fresh from the hand of the Lord Jesus. Now, somebody has said, and this is my first conference in Canada in 1984, but someone has said they're all good. You ever notice that there's never a report in a magazine that it was kind of a bad conference? They always report them, it was good. Well, I'm glad that they really were. But they do go up and down in the scale. There are some better than others, all right. And there are some that we can get a little barley cake from. Might not seem so big at the time, but mind you, it sustained all these people, and on top of that, there was some left over. Oh, yes, basket full. And that's the point. If you get a little bit, you'll have something left over. And you know these leftovers are just as nice as the other. And the leftovers, now it says they could eat all they could. We went into Ponderosa the other night. If you go on a Friday night, well, you can eat all the fish you can hold. And so the waitress kept coming back and, would you have some more? I said, well, I'm pretty full now. But you see, it was just like this. All that they could. Plenty. Plenty of fish. And but the bread. Ah, it was barley. Plenty of it. Didn't seem like much to start with. And you know, we don't seem like much. That's true. The religious world looks down upon us. Oh, they say you just belong to that little splinter group. Well, I tell them it's quite a splinter and it's got quite a prick to it, too. When they talk to me like that, Oh, I said, you better watch out. You might get tricked. Why? Because if the Lord is with us, who can be against us? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's from Romans. Nobody can be against us. The main thing is to be sure that we have God with us. And we have Him with us if we will obey Him. Now, I know that He'll never leave us or forsake us. That is true. But in connection with communion and blessing, there are conditions laid down. And now the condition was right here. Just make them sit down. Well, sometimes we're too busy. These people had to sit down in order to get filled. Sometimes we're so busy running around and wondering where everything is coming from that we're not waiting for Him to hand it out to us. They just did as they were told, wondering where it's all going to come from, these five little loaves. Why, where are they going to come from? 5,000! Ah, but from His hand. They did what they were told. They sat down, rest under His command. They dined from His hand. They were filled from His hand. They were blessed by Him. Not a little bit from the barley bread. Now, only 15 past, so I'm going to... Oh.